We are live impromptu show, GYGB War Report show. We initially, again, we weren't planning to do a show today. You know, it's kind of slow week. Obviously, there was, you know, Anthony Joshua's knockout win with Beckin, but, you know, but I don't think there's any doubt that the news that we got today and why we are doing this impromptu show, it's going to be a quick show.
Yep.
Without question, the biggest news story this year in boxing and arguably in the last several years, man.
Yeah, it's a big story, no doubt about it.
Story, man. HBO, after 45 years, is bowing out of the boxing industry after the 2018 calendar. There's a couple fights left. We got hit. I mean, the crazy thing is, and first off, I am Roberto Flack, my man Coltrane on the line as well. And yo, man, we, you know, us within the crew, we talked about this, man. I mean, within our chats with other people, and the writing was on the wall.
Yeah.
For the better part of a year and a half, man. And I think, like, how we talk today about it, you know, it's like we're not surprised, but at the same time, it's still like a shock to the system that the juggernaut HBO I mean, man, think about all the guys that we over the span of just 25 years that we have seen become superstars.
Or that's the right say. Yeah. It's, I mean,
wow, man. What was your initial take, man, when you got, because I remember I hit y'all up. Like,
this is
how everything happened, man. I leave the gym. I'm, you know, naturally checking the phone. I do the 12
news alerts. Right. I got you.
And I was like, whoa.
No doubt.
Peter Nelson says, boom, 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 HBO is out of boxing. And I'm like, oh, damn. Hit y'all up. Try, you know, it was just kind of like one of those moments, like, it's almost like, you know, when somebody passes away, like a big celebrity or something, right, like that. Yo, shocking news, but like almost in a way, man, it is kind of like an entity dying, man, because HBO Boxing has been the epicenter of the boxing world for the better part of what, like 30 years, 35 years?
I mean, yeah, I mean, for guys like you and I that, you know, I'm not going to tell our age, but we we grew up on HBO Boxing. I mean, obviously we had, you know, other things like Friday Night Fights, the Wild World of Sports on ABC, which we were really young back then, you know. You know, I mean, that was like what do you call them? Floor model televisions with the knock. You know what I'm saying? Joint was like the Millennium Falcon type joint, you know what I mean? But anyhow, but no, I mean, like I said, we grew up on HBO Boxing. So many great fights. You can go out. You know, I remember HBO used to do like these previews of fighters, you know. And I remember they did something on James Toney, and, you know, was breaking down his defense. And I think Jim Lampley was like narrating it. You know, you just remember all those little things, those little nuances. And like you said, like, we watched people like Oscar De La Hoya.
Yep.
You know, well, Chavez for over in Showtime. But, you know, we watched guys, you coming up to more recent times, guys like Fernando Vargas become like a mega superstar on HBO. You know, Felix Trinidad. You know, we watched Pernell Whitaker, Roy Jones Jr., you know, so many more guys. I'm just going with, in the last, like you said, 25 years of guys that we just watched become mammoths, you know, on that network. And, you know, they had like the flawless camera angles, the graphics. They was like the most modern out of all the networks that display boxing. And, you know, me and you can do a whole show about fight parties that we either went to or hosted, you know, watching HBO Boxing, you know. So it was just, like you said, we knew it was coming. The writing was on the wall because they had pretty much a skeleton crew over there fighting on their roster. And we'll break down the nuances of that, you know, in a minute. But like you said, the writing was on the wall. We were just really bracing ourselves for the impact, and the crash happened. And now we're feeling the effects of the crash. But to your point again, it's just, you know, so many great fights that took place on HBO, man. And it ironically, as fate would have it, they ended with a great. Now, I know they're not technically ending to the end of the year, but we're going to know the ending for us and most people that don't even follow the sport like that is going to be Canelo and Triple G. So I guess if you're going to end it, that's somewhat on a high note.
Yeah, man, it's crazy, man. And what was wild is going into that fight, we were hearing the stories about this is Canelo's last fight on his HBO contract. This is Triple G's last fight on his HBO contract. And Sergey Kovalev and Eleider Alvarez are fighting on ESPN now. And the only remaining fight was Danny Jacobs and Derevyanchenko, man. But we, you know, going into the Canelo Triple G fight, we were like, again, like we were just, you know, just talking about, like, we kind of knew what was happening. But to be quite honest with you, man, I didn't think we were going to get the announcement this soon. I thought this was going to be something maybe February of 2019, you know. It's the fact that we're getting the news now, I think this has been in motion for quite some time. And, you know, for those who aren't aware of, like, maybe why this is happening, I mean, there's a big reason is because of the merger with Time Warner and AOL. You know, that's making, you know, the whole situation with the budget, it has a big effect on it. And while you may not hear so, that it's anytime there's a company merger, trust me, no money is being put out there as far as budgets and things as such, man. Everything is being kept tightly knit.
Right, right.
So I think with Bob Arum, man, look, he's stubborn as they come, man. But I think he saw the writing on the wall.
I will just get ready to say, I know we're hard on the old man at times, but, you know, nobody's going to question his business acumen. You know, be in this business this long.
If he didn't know what was popping, right.
my knock was never towards Bob. It was towards fighters that, you know, didn't do the best for their careers. Bob is doing what he's always did. You know what I mean? And he's going to continue to do it. And he laid a formula and a blueprint, you know, how to, you know, do boxing, so to speak. I know people might not agree with, but whatever. But the point being is that, to your point, he saw the writing on the wall and got in through the car in reverse and got up out of there. Like, he ghosted that scene real quick.
Real quick, man.
Real quick.
Early.
I mean, like you said, he's been in the game. He saw the writing on the wall, the metrics, probably, you know, the top rank is no different from the New York Yankees. Yeah, you know, or the Dallas Cowboys, yep. You know, they were a premier boxing promotion company.
3 years. I mean, yeah. We're talking about over 40 years.
40 years. And they got really intelligent people working for them. And it's just not Bob sitting in some skyscraper with a bunch of people running this company. You know what I mean? Like
that. But that's the vision that people have, though.
You know? I think people think that.
Bob Arum, you know, like, but no, you're right. Yeah, I agree 100%, man. I mean, and I think that's why Todd DeBuff, I mean, he was the guy that orchestrated future, you know.
Yeah, we've been hearing that forever, but
he orchestrated this whole deal with ESPN.
No, man. He did, yeah.
And I think the fact that we were already a year and a half in with this ESPN deal with Todd.
Has it been that long? Yeah. It was so two summers ago. Yeah, I remember.
Well, you know, when it started, the fight that started it all was Pacquiao and
Horn. I was watching Crawford fight. What's his name? The African kid he fought.
Ndongo.
Yeah. That wasn't this summer. It was last summer.
Last August. Yeah. Yeah. That's when he unified 140. Man. So
40. Right.
So, you know, that's the thing, man. Like, Bob saw what was happening, and I think
most people do, man.
Yeah, man, and I think when you read the stories about or the articles with Oscar De La Hoya in recent weeks talking about he didn't know what HBO's future was, and, you know, they don't look like they're really committed to boxing, and it's like, yo, man, it's a new day, and I think clearly the guy that's in the driver's seat right now, as it relates to where I. he has a lot of options is Canelo Alvarez, man. I mean, he's kind of the LeBron James of boxing right now, because people, I mean, we got to remember, man, boxing is a business. And Canelo Alvarez right now is, along with, you have to include Anthony Joshua as far as like ticket sales and things of such.
Right.
He's in the UK, but in the United States, Canelo Alvarez is the highest earning boxer today. You know,
right?
Not named
he's
Floyd.
He's only on selling platinum albums right now.
Right. Yeah. He's doing the Hov move right now. So
right, exactly, pretty much.
So I think he's in a very good situation, and I think the fact that coming off of this Triple G win, whether you thought he won or not, he's in the driver's seat, man. And I think for Golovkin too, he's in a position where even in a loss like that, because there's a lot of people who still think, you know, he won the fight, he has options too, man. So I just think the dynamic of the entire industry, man, like literally changed with the snap. Yo, you know what it was like, man? It was like Thanos snapping the finger. You know?
Speaking of our conversation earlier.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly. So
you know what's crazy, that I was thinking about something earlier when you was asking about what you think is going to happen with Canelo. If De La Hoya is smart, and I'm sure that this has been thought about, because come on, they've been knew this was it ain't like De La Hoya got an alert on his iPhone saying that HBO's going out of business. Oh God, oh my God, what are we gonna do? I think that what he's probably gonna do is they're probably gonna go a route where he's not under contract with no networks, basically.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he'll be a rental. That I think that might be the wave of the future. Just being a rental, you know, for the day. And the thing I'll hate now, it works two ways now, because it was funny because we talked about this. We know who's at 54 and 60. Charlo twins, Herd, all Al Haymon guys, all fight on Showtime, all fight under Al Haymon's umbrella. So he knows that. So Al Haymon and them probably like, well, listen, because of this domino effect, we're now in the wheelhouse. Same for Triple G too. Yeah. You know, now it's like, okay, well, we don't have HBO backing us no more. So now, you know, we got to kind of go to their backyard, so to speak, because make no mistake about it, Al Haymon, even though his fighters aren't signed to Showtime, he pretty much got the keys to the castle over there, you know, with his roster. The thing Canelo got going for him is that he's the main event. You know, he's the attraction at the castle.
Right.
You know, there's no party without Canelo. That's the thing that, and De La Hoya knows that. And that's the trump card. It's Canelo now, because I do think him and Triple G is going to fight again, but I think he's going to fight a tune-up first.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because he took a beating, even though we thought he won, he still got beat up a little bit in that fight, and I think he needs a little break. And Triple G too, both of them.
Wouldn't it be smart, though, if Showtime picked up that pay-per-view? Like,
I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't they do that?
Yeah, I think it happens. Yeah, I think that.
Wow, man.
Remember, we thought HBO was still going to be in the pay-per-view game, but they're completely out.
Yeah, like they're saying, like, maybe they said a fight destination. I don't even know what he was talking about.
Yeah,
like,
they're just leaving a door open just in case, you know.
Because
you never know what's going to happen down the line. Somebody new come and take over.
Right. Yeah, true.
I just think that when the Showtime – now let's go back. We got to go back in time. You know, when whatever year that was, when Floyd, because it all root kind of goes back to Mayweather.
That was the beginning, 2013.
That was the beginning of the demise, because when Mayweather leaves to go to Showtime, Al Haymon follows in pursuit, because most of the boxing industry was duped in believing that, De La Hoya, Golden Boy, had guys like Danny Garcia.
Yeah,
the hell of other guys.
He had the best roster, the Marcos Maidana.
Thought they were all Golden Boy fighters, though, at the time.
But they weren't. They didn't have. They didn't have signed contracts.
He poured the Kaiser Sose on us.
Yeah, man. Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what he did, man.
Yeah.
And that's when, you know, it was – and even – I was telling somebody today, like, even during – even when that happened, like, the big takeover.
The takeover.
You know, we forget Canelo was at Showtime at that point too, and then they made that big six-fight deal with Canelo on HBO. And even and from that point, Canelo became their guy while they were building Triple G inevitably to fight Canelo, which it's just almost poetic, not poetic, I don't want to say poetic justice, but kind of like in a weird way, they built up Golovkin and they got Canelo there to ultimately, you know, have these fights for the brand to just, you know.
I know.
It's pretty crazy, man. But I think Canelo Triple G, I mean, let's see what happens, because, you know, the whole thing too is the sales from the second one didn't hit like the first one. And, you know, that's kind of a room for concern, at least if you're Canelo, where you're like, well, I don't know if I want to – well, unless he demands more money this time around and then Golovkin just has to take what he takes. But let's see what happens, man, because ESPN's talking about they're trying to do a pay-per-view, Fox, Showtime, and
– yeah, create a bidding war. Create a bidding war.
Which, and you know, at the end of the day is how they used to do it back in the day. It's just
a bit more.
Yo, the reason they became like the powerhouse is because at one point they just had ridiculous amounts of money to play with.
Right.
And guys, you know, they were able to put on these fights. I mean, look, man, 10 years ago, Terrence Crawford versus Victor Postol easily would have been an HBO World Championship boxing fight. Look, man, you guys went to this fight, right? Kelly Pavlik, Jermaine Taylor, that was HBO World Championship Boxing, man. And in today's world, man, that would have been pay-per-view, you know? And a lot of it just has to do with money. And we have to see how they approach the future as it relates to, you know what I mean? Because, look, the streaming is where it's going. I don't think they've really figured it out yet. Whoever figures that whole ordeal out, like, to a T, I've been saying is gonna win. Like, they're gonna win outright. But I think in general, man, while it's sad, you know, you hate to see this happen, being that like HBO has been such a fixture and we've gotten so used to just for whether you like the commentary or not, like I didn't care too much for it, but I just think the overall production value was always second to none with HBO, man. I mean, I don't think anybody can really deny that. Showtime in the later years has done a lot better. I prefer their commentary, but HBO's production in general, and this is why they win Emmys every freaking year, you know? Like, they put on good shows and put out a good product, but all good things come to an end, man. And I think while it's sad that HBO's leaving, I think it's an exciting time because a lot of this is just, like, new for us, man. Like our folks were used to seeing ABC Wide World of Sports and CBS and seeing Marvin Hagler and Roberto Duran and Camacho fight on those networks. HBO is like that for us, where like my son's not going to really remember HBO boxing, you know, if they just continue not to be involved in the sport anymore, man. So we're like not only with the fighters, man, but the broadcasting, we're in a big transitional phase, man. You know, I guess phase 3, phase 4 of, you know, our lifetimes, man. But it's just crazy, man. It's really crazy.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? Like when you was talking, it got me to thinking too about a couple things. The first one was about just a sidebar about when Rockefeller Records broke up. Well, when Dame and Jay broke up, and Jay, who did Jay take with him when they broke up? Who was the monster out that group? Now, at the time, we didn't know he would become who he has become. Kanye.
Yeah.
You know, I think Dipset, Cameron, and them went with Dash. You know, obviously they was all from, you know, but, you know, Jay being who Jay is. And listen, whatever people's opinion of Kanye is, the guy's a lightning rod, you know, and, you know, he draws people to him. You know, but anyhow, De La Hoya, you know, it's an interesting situation. Triple G, his money follows with wherever Canelo goes, that's where Triple G goes. He like, they're tied to the hip now. Like, all those, this was the best thing that happened for Triple G more so than Canelo, because Canelo was going to make money regardless.
Regardless.
You know, right. Now we're now looking for the new B-side villain to Canalo's story. You know what I mean? Like, we're looking who that may be. Maybe it be the Charlton. Maybe it be Hurd. We don't know. But we know that we can make another villain. Triple G, obviously, is on his way out the door. He's older. It has nothing to do with, you know, his skills. And I just that he's an older guy who's his best chance at securing a heavy bag is having a third fight with Canalo. You know, that'll be a nice retirement package. Because I don't think he's fighting those twins. I don't think he's fighting her. Well, I mean, it would be so stupid. I don't know if it was you or Ride or Die that shared that article talking about, you know, letting the fight marinate with the twins because they're not big enough yet, you know, far as namesake wise. So right. Why would Triple G fight
them any first. Of those guys?
You know what I mean? Like, that makes zero sense. And run the risk of getting knocked out. Not saying that he would lose to them, but you run the risk of that happening. Now everything is going.
I think, well, the thing with Triple G now, man, as it relates to his opportunities, I mean, you know, the story, the news broke today that Billy Joe Saunders got busted, you know, with the VADA, you know, he got busted with whatever, you know, the VADA tested and it came up positive for some banned substance. So he's likely going to be out of that fight. And they're going to probably strip him. So that's an open door for Triple G to fight for that title. Now, yo, let me tell you something, man. Like, I would not mind a fight with him and Andrade because the thing with Andrade, man, like, he hasn't looked good in his last few fights. But if there was ever any opportunity for this guy to – because he's like the dark horse that – everybody's forgotten, and he's gone through promotional situations and things as such. But I think if I'm Andrade, man, this is your shot. Because I mean, the Charlo fight is, I don't know if that's going to materialize yet, but if that fight becomes a reality, he fights Triple G for that title, man. If I'm him, I take that fight, man. This is the best condition of Triple G that you're going to get as far as. making you more of giving you a better shot than you were like maybe a couple of years ago, man. So,
and he's technically, you know, I think it's a good idea for Triple G because, you know, he's not a, you know, even though he's a bigger guy, he moved up from junior middleweight to middleweight. Right. So it's a manageable fight. He's a little chinny and he got some skills. Listen, he reminds me of Chad Dawson.
Yeah,
the guy that can listen, he can either embarrass you or he can be embarrassed. Yes. Get embarrassed. Right. That's the crazy.
He just like, hasn't had that opportunity, you know. Like
Chad Dawson had these opportunities. You know, I guess you know Tomas Adamac, a couple other guys. I'm drawing a blank here, but he had opportunities to show out. You know, where Andrade for whatever reason had those opportunities, and then when he was on, just fighting Joe Blow type dude.
Right, yeah.
He looked lackluster because I remember when I first saw him, I'm like, oh, this dude got some skills. I like the way, you know, how he hold his hands. You know, he was jabbing to the solar plexus and, you know, looking real sharp. And then, like, was it against, what's his name? Willie, what's the guy named the middleweight he fought?
Drawing a blank.
What's his name? I'm kidding.
Not Willie. No, he didn't fight Willie Monroe.
And who did he fight? He fought a middleweight that
I'm about to
look at. I think if he got dropped in this particular fight. I'm drawing a blank. Well, anyway, this guy, it was like a guy that he should have handled easily. He was having trouble with.
Having trouble with him, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he
Then I know he had promotional issues and all that, too.
Yeah,
so.
He's been in a situation, man, where, I mean, he's getting older and he hasn't landed, like, a quality fight, you know what I mean? And, he fought this dude, Alentez Fox. Willie Nelson,
That's what he fought. That's what I thought, yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, Willie Nelson.
He hasn't really fought anybody, man, and it's unfortunate that, like, this happened, like, at the 11th hour, you know, Billy Joe Saunders. So, I don't know what the plan is. But
how about Billy Joe Saunders? Wasn't he calling out Canalo? Like, these dudes are hilarious.
Right, exactly, man. He was calling him out on the whole clenbuterol stuff.
That's what I'm saying. He was one of the main ones.
It's unbelievable, man.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it's crazy, man. But I mean, yeah, but so, you know, I mean, we didn't want to make this a long show, but we gotta talk about this, man. I mean, this is just big news in the world of boxing as it relates really to the future, man. You know, we're looking right now, the pillars of boxing in the United States, man, are consisted of DAZN, ESPN, ESPN Plus, if you want to add that. Now Fox getting into the boxing world starting next year and Showtime.
Let's talk about that real quick. Not to cut you off, because I want to make sure we bring this up, because this could be the wave of the future. Streaming.
Oh, of course. I mean,
tomorrow, a big thing is happening tomorrow. The NFL, I believe, for the first time, I don't know, maybe they did it before, but I know it's going to be, for the first time, it's going to be an all-female announcer crew.
Oh,
it's going to be on Amazon in 200 countries. Now, I don't think people understand how big that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because think about it. Like, when you watch football, like, anybody that ever been outside the country and try to watch an NFL game, it's the most impossible thing to do. Unless you go on one of them little mom-and-pop streaming sites where you got to hold your computer near the window so that but this is huge though right here, because it makes you think about the future. Like, okay, I know Bob Arum, this whole app thing that they're doing, you know, Disney, I'm just going back. I was bringing it back to the boxing. Disney is obviously the owner, a parent owner of ESPN. And they've been, you know, right now, it's crappy because it's not working out, but I'm sure that's how the internet was when we first tried to use it. Remember the dial-up, you know what I mean? So, and look where we're at now, you know what I mean? Look, we're having Jetsons conversations with each other.
So, right.
Point being is that we can't rule out the streaming.
It's the future, man. I mean, look.
So maybe on. HBO might, just to give them a bit of credence, some credit, you know, just give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. Like I said, smart business people make smart decisions way in advance.
Right.
The same way Bob left them. Maybe HBO, like, look, this ain't our game right now. You know,
I think that's what it is. Like,
yeah, you know what I mean?
Everybody's locked into deals. There's no, they have no direction to go to mm-hmm. bring in talent anymore, man. And I think they realize, man, that the paradigm's changed. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And it's streaming is headed in that direction, and I think where HBO might have messed up, man, is where Showtime has a sole,
they have it. Yeah,
app that you yep. can watch not like
your
stuff. Showtime,
I've done it,
right, man. So HBO they really dropped the ball in that department, and I think with them out now, look, man, you have. You could watch Showtime on your Fire Stick, your Roku, your Android TV, your Apple TV, your phone. And then with ESPN, same thing. And as that app, like you said, as that app develops,
Disney
have access there too. Listen. Fox, trust me, they're gonna get into that world too, man.
Listen, when this thing go through with Disney, this streaming service
on the app,
the game is over, because they're already talking about streaming. See, once you start streaming live sporting events, and then, I'm talking about the big ones, yeah. It's over,
right? And that's the thing, they're getting into the whole their streaming service starts like the fall of next year, and I think ESPN is going to play a part in that.
Okay.
I don't know how to relate to the fights and the streaming app that they have now, but what might happen, man, is that ESPN Plus app maybe gets merged in to Disney. I don't know. I mean, who knows, man?
I see it happening. And I was just saying, you know, just before we close out, I was just saying maybe that's why HBO, listen, you can't compete with Disney. You just can't. Like, nobody can. You know what I mean? Like,
or your Walmart, but
they Brandon bullies. You know, that. The whole branding concept,
yeah,
it don't get no bigger than Walt Disney. You know what I mean? That name reigns supreme, and they're saying that this streaming that they're bringing out next fall, you said it's coming out, right?
Yeah,
it's going to shut the whole cable game. It's because what they're going to introduce is, like I was saying, was if the live stream. Remember, ABC, ESPN, all owned by Disney. So that means basketball games, football games. I don't know if hockey, I don't follow hockey, but I'm assuming that hockey maybe play a game or two on ABC.
Yeah, if they go that route, that's where they're going to be able to top Netflix.
Yeah, that's it. That's the game changer.
Netflix doesn't have live.
I remember reading an article when streaming first kind of came about, and the guy that was writing the article, it was one of those Gizmo articles, and the guy was like the first streaming service to be able to stream original content, which Netflix has already done. This was years ago, before Netflix even had original content, and live sporting events. That's when streaming will officially, just think, our kids, like your son, because I know how my kids are, they're not going to watch, my kids don't watch regular TV.
No, they barely.
Like, man. That is foreign to them watching regular TV. Barely. Like everything they do, they don't even watch shows that's on right now on streaming services. So they don't have to watch commercials. Ain't that crazy, though, when you think about it?
No, it's the way it is, man. We've experienced something totally different. We experienced something like, well, totally different than what our kids are experiencing now, man. But just the technology is just rapidly increasing, man. And again, it's going to segue into boxing because that's just where everything is headed, man. Like, just the way we digest media, sports in general. I mean, yo, like, I can watch fights on this right here, man. You know, like, truth be told. It's just it is what it is, man. And I think what I will say, man, is unlike the music industry,
boxing. That's what I say, you know,
yeah, boxing seems to be seem to be proactive about the future. Where with the music industry, they took way too long. The MP3,
it took too long.
All that, and they got, you know, things are starting to, you know, hopefully in the next few years we'll get better, but. They, you know, everybody involved, man, have been in this business for a while, and they see where the money's at, and they see where the future is. And just like back then, whoever saw, who had the vision of HBO to be, you know, this huge boxing powerhouse, man, somebody thought of it back then. So I think whoever wins the streaming wars is going to be the winner, man. And like, yo,
let me just say this real quick, too, is that Canelo. For him, listen, I think anybody that does a million pay-per-view buys in this climate of boxing, I think is actually good.
It's good money.
Like the music. Like I thought about it because you said the music. Remember, I remember listening to an interview with Jadakiss, and they was like, oh, he only went – he said, y'all don't understand. If you go half, like 500,000, you go gold. Now, that's like going platinum back in the day.
Oh, yeah, man. Absolutely. Absolutely.
With the streaming services.
Right. So when you think about like Canelo Alvarez, man, like popping up on DAZN or ESPN, that like, or Showtime, even though Showtime has the PBC fighters, man, none of those guys are crossover fighters like Canelo Alvarez is. Like he brings in a huge fan base and a history of, you know, high selling pay-per-views, man. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting with him, man. And Golden Boy, too, because I think Munguia, too, in the future is going to be a big fight for some of those guys, man. Or at least, you know, let's see if that pans out. But, yeah, man.
Showbox this weekend, Devin Haney.
Oh, yeah, Devin Haney. Yeah. Showtime. Yeah. Well, the Victor Ortiz situation. I mean, wow, man. So that fight
got canceled. What's going on with that? Is he still going to be able to?
No, that fight got canceled.
Got canceled. Okay, I didn't even know that. Yeah,
man, got canceled, and John Molina's not fighting. So
strange guy, man. Strange guy.
And tomorrow afternoon is gonna be the finale of the World Boxing Series. George Groves, Callum Smith. That's gonna be on DAZN. I don't know how many people are gonna watch in the United States at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but I'm sure I'll. Watch the repeat or you know, find it somehow, man. But yeah, that's pretty much it, man. But October, the only thing going in October, man, is Danny and Dervinchenko, which is one of the last HBO fights.
Right, yeah, that's the last, yeah.
And I'm trying to think of October. The Demetrius Andrade fight's canceled. And then, you know, this Tyson Fury Wilder fight that got announced December 1st, that's like, I guess, the next big
That's going to be the next big fight in boxing, by the way.
Yeah, the last big pay-per-view. And
that's going to do stupid numbers, by the way, over there, not here.
Yeah, over there.
Listen, let me just say this real quick. I think some people get misconstrued of how this works. In the UK, boxing is like the NFL or the NBA. It's
the biggest sport, right?
It's the second biggest sport. Like, they sell out arenas. Like, Lee Selby, right? I mean, he fought this young guy from here, Eric Hunter.
Right.
This dude sold an arena out. Like,
who's selling an arena?
You're right. So, my point being is that Anthony Joshua, for the UK, that fight is going to be humongous.
And the undercard, from what they're saying, is going to be Daniel Cruz and Gary Russell.
Yeah.
Fight. And then Tank and Abner Mars. And then before that, they're on Showtime, they're going to have Adonis Stevenson and I forgot the Russian cat's name. It was a mandatory, but it's like knocking dudes out. So that's going to be before the pay-per-view starts. So that it's December 1st, but that day is going to be like filled with fights, man. And then, you know, Lomachenko, Pedraza following that, December 8th on ESPN, following the Heisman Trophy presentation. Oh, wait, but and this is another thing that's killing me with this whole ESPN Plus app is the Crawford and Benavidez Jr. fight is on the ESPN Plus app as opposed to ESPN, in which I don't know why they're doing that, but that's October 13th. So that I completely forgot about that, which kind of sucks because, I mean, that we shouldn't be forgetting about that, considering, you know, Crawford's one of the top fighters, man. But that's that, yeah, man. That's pretty much it, man. HBO RIP, man. Wow.
Yeah.
45 years.
All right, my dude.
That's pretty much it, man. And we're gonna wrap it up for this week, man. Shout out to my man Coltrane. Shout out to R.O. Diggity.
R.O. Diggity.
You know, we'll be back next week, man. Start fresh. We're already in October, man. We're years
Halloween in. This year. Yeah. Halloween fell on the
October 19th. You know where I'll be at.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're down.
So. That's our show, man. We'll be back. Follow us on Instagram at Garcia Grill Boxing. Appreciate all the follows on Facebook as well as on YouTube. Hit the reminder and like and subscribe, man. So until next week, we are out of here. Peace.